All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to receive your free, no-obligation brochure from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-942-8877. That's 800-942-8877. Call 800-942-8877 today.
Streaming 24/7.
Oh my God, it's better than I thought.
This is Radio Influence.
You know her from network radio, but now she's on the net and in your head.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence.
It's the Babe Cast. You know that is the Fabulous Sports Babe. We're happening with you today. We've got all kinds of things to talk about today. First and foremost, give it up to the Cubs. We loved the Cubs. We loved everything about it. But I have to tell you, if Cleveland had won it, I would have been okay because I love Cleveland. And I love Tito and I like everything. But it was just, it was to be able to see this thing and to watch what took place. And, you know, when they were down 3-1, you were saying, okay, I like Cleveland, okay. You could leave with that. It wasn't like somebody that you didn't like. But there they were, and they made this incredible thing, and they came back, and it was incredible. And it was funny because I was getting texts all day long, and I kept going, Zobrist is coming up. Zobrist is coming up. This is a guy that nobody will ever think of as a Hall of Fame guy. He's a guy that got the most valuable player, and in 20 years from now, you won't know who the hell this guy is. But he was great. And he was great when he was here, and he was absolutely perfect to be there. And it was so good. They're putting him out there in left field. If they wanted him to play catcher, I think he would. I love Zobrist. But I think if you were with the Rays and you understood what he did and then you understand what he did there, but he's never going to be a Hall of Fame player, but he was absolutely terrific in that. I love Tito. I love Cleveland. I could have lived with it, but I am so happy that they won. And we don't have to hear anything anymore. What about Bill Murray crying? Did you see the picture of him like with his hand over his eyes and he was crying? I thought that was kind of cool. I thought all of that. What else is going on? Oh, we have football, football, and football. By the way, I got to tell you something. I'm not buying the Alabama. I'm thinking that they're the best team, except I think Ohio State would give them quite a run for their money. But I'm not thinking they're as good as they used to be, but it's so, you know, it's that kind of, do you remember the way when Notre Dame was always like that? And it was always Notre Dame and Notre Dame. And we never see that now. I don't know. You don't rush to go to Notre Dame anymore. You can go to Arizona or USC or you can go any place right now. But it reminds me of that. But they've been around for an awfully long time. And somebody said, well, when is he going to stop that and go back to the pros? Well, why should he go to the pros? He hated the pros. He should be there for the rest of his life until he decides he doesn't want to be there. I get it. But I still have Ohio State, and I think they'd kill him in the middle of this. By the way, I am so glad that the Patriots are no longer on the damn, what is that called, the bye? Oh, God, I hated that. You know what it's like to spend, and by the way, I am so in love with the red zone. I will sit there, and yes, I got to be honest, you know, I watch the Bucs, but I watch the red zones. Then I'll go over and I'll watch the Bucs, and it goes to commercial, I'll go right back to the red zone. And most of the time, if they're really losing pretty bad, I'll be watching the red zone most of the time in all of that. You know what? I would guess it's back. American Ninja Warrior is back. But you know what? I see those people and I go, I see, you know, that guy with the green hair. I mean, how many times is he going to fail miserably? And he keeps showing up there. I'm going back there and I'm thinking to myself, is that what they do? Because they're all like, quote, fitness experts. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean to be a fit? Lord knows I'm not one. You know, so I figured that out. So anyway, I love American Ninja Warrior. I have other things that I'll talk about, but I got other things that's going on right now. All right. I'm the Babe. We're going to talk to Joe Person. I love this guy. He's from the Charlotte Observer, and I love talking to him because he's just the guy. He'll talk to him about Cam. We'll talk about Josh Norman. We'll talk about the secondary and everything that's going on in the middle of that about, you know, they've won three games. If they win all the rest of the games, they'll have 11 wins. I'm not buying that for a minute, but we'll look and see. Hey, Joe Person, I love you. You're coming to the Charlotte Observer, but you're coming to talk to the Babecast because that's the only thing that matters right now. Joe, let's talk a little about what's going on with the Panthers. You go into this year, you're crazy about the Panthers. You're getting all excited about it. And they have taken the gas pipe and they're 3-5 right now. Is it different since they went to the bye? Do you think they're coming back or are they in deep trouble?
You know, they have looked better, babe, for sure. Beating Arizona and then on the road at the Rams to at least give themselves a little semblance of hope here. It's just tough. Cam Newton is not getting any protection either from the officials, as he will tell you, but also not getting great protection from an offensive line that is missing Michael Orr, who remains in the concussion protocol. It's their good left tackle, the blind side. He's missed now five games. They didn't have their center last week with Ryan Khalil. And it really looks at Cam looks like they had a couple years ago, 2014, same kind of thing happening. He looked a little gun shy in the pocket. He was throwing off his back foot. And that's kind of where he looks like now. And when they protect for him, as they did against New Orleans, albeit in a loss, he can still sling it around pretty good. But they have got to figure out a way to keep him upright and healthy in that pocket.
Do you find that the fact that he went to talk to Goodell was kind of just pushing his offensive line and saying, I'm not going to worry about you. I'll talk to Goodell and everything will be fine. And I think people are saying, you know, you're making millions of dollars, play football. Stop it.
Yeah. You know, it really, the answer to that depends on what side of the Cam Newton coin you come down on. His detractors and critics will certainly say, you know, every quarterback faces this kind of punishment, but his supporters, and you know, would tell you that, hey, this guy kind of gets the Shaquille O'Neal mm-hmm. treatment. He's so big that the big hits on him don't quite look as nasty and ferocious. And it really is true. It puts the officials in a bit of a bind because they don't want to be they don't want to give some guy, albeit the reigning league MVP, they don't want to give him or be perceived to be giving him preferential treatment. But you also, in this day and age, with such an emphasis on player safety, especially quarterbacks, you know, you don't want just the fact that Cam is 6'5 and 250. Listen, that his brain's made the same way as everyone else's. That's one thing where your size and your biceps and your tries don't matter when your brain's rattling around the inside of mm-hmm. your skull. So he's taken a lot of shots. You've seen him. It's really quite amazing. He's only been had the one concussion so far this year.
Well, and you know what? Especially with the concussion now, you can see it. And especially when he had the accident, everybody was, is he going to be all right? And he came right out of that. And then people don't understand. Remember 20 years ago, we'd call it Joe. Somebody got their bell rung and they'll be back in 10 minutes, but we don't do any of that now. And it's right about the fact that I assume, and you can tell me more, what was it like when he did have the concussion?
Well, that's a great question. And Cam was really, as you know, he doesn't often like really opening up and kind of sharing much about his personal life with the media, like a lot of these guys don't. But on the concussion, he was really forthcoming and candid talking with us about it. First of all, I think he was a little embarrassed because it happened on a play when it was one of the rare times he could have avoided the hit. If you remember against the Falcons, he kind of coasted into the end zone, showboating a bit, and Deion Jones, the rookie linebacker, took him down. Mm-hmm. But he said, you know, he'd never felt like that in his life. He said, you know, he's kind of walking off the Georgia Dome field in his hometown of Atlanta, no less, and just in a complete daze. And he said, you know, he'd think that following week when he sat out, he'd have a couple days when he thought he was turning the corner on it. And then just like so many of these guys experienced, then, you know, then you'd have a setback. So he said it was kind of an eye-opening experience for him. He said he had always kind of just sort of sloughed off guys who got concussions and not really having not put himself in their shoes, but he got a taste of it firsthand. And I think the expression he used, he said, concussions are for real, man.
You know, what makes me think about, I was just thinking, I'm going to say to you, well, what about Brady? What about Rodgers? Is he not being kept up on that? And they say, well, it's only your first hit. But I mean, he's been a great quarterback in the time that he's been there. So do they not say you're not a, I'm not going to say he's not an elite quarterback, because he is, but maybe they say, you haven't been around as Brady. You haven't been around as much as Rodgers. And maybe they're kind of looking at him going, hurry up and do some more stuff. I can't get that yet.
Well, you remember last year, early in their season, it was a September game in what would turn out to be that remarkable 15-0 start or 14-0 start in the Super Bowl, of course. But he, after a game, I can't remember who they were playing against, but it may have been the Texans. But Cam, in no uncertain terms after the game, said that Ed Hockley had told him, you're not old enough to get that call.
Ooh.
It was one of these other situations. I think on this particular play, he was a running quarterback and thought he'd gotten hit out of bounds, and probably had, this is my recollection. And you could see on the replay, he and Hockley exchanged words, and Cam's version, which Ed denies, Cam claims that's what Ed told him. Now, there have been some who have suggested that just the fact that Cam raised that issue publicly might have, had some of these officials kind of not really wanting to give him the benefit of the doubt. I got to tell you, babe, I don't think there is this vast conspiracy, up in New York or when the NFL officials are getting together, game and league officials, they're not trying to figure out how they can take it to Cam Newton, how they can screw the league. But I do think, as I mentioned earlier, I do think that it might be kind of human nature in our subconscious that about the whole Shaquille O'Neal thing, that Cam, the big hits don't look quite as big on him. And there, I think at least that meeting with Goodell might raise the level of awareness, and not just for Cam. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is another guy who I think has fallen victim to this over the years too, as he's so big and sturdy. And but as I say, you wonder too if it is shortening the shelf life on the career of a guy like Cam Newton, and that would be that'd be sad if that were the case.
And we're seeing it more when you talk about Ben. I love Ben. Not forget the private life, but as far as being a football player, I've always liked him.
Right.
But sometimes he gets clobbered, and I think what you're saying is true. That okay, I'm not exactly 6'5", but I get it. If you look at somebody that's big, and you think, oh, it's not as bad for him as it would be for a guy that's 6'1". You would see it differently, I think.
I'll give you a perfect example. The Panthers were playing in New Orleans three, four weeks ago, and their big defensive tackle, K'Wan Short, ended up kind of getting his hand under the face mask of Drew Brees, and rightly so, got a foul called on it and got penalized and fined for it. But Short said after the game, he said, I got to tell you, he said, I had no malicious intent there. He said, I was just kind of bringing my hands up, and Drew is so short that it kind of got in the line of fire. That was a case, Drew's generously listed at 6 foot, I think. And he may be 6 foot if he stretches.
I don't think so at all, Joe. I don't think so.
I don't either, but, I've stood next to him enough. I don't think he is, but the point being is that wasn't a great big shot, and that knocked Drew over, and as I said, rightfully drew the flag. And the only thing Cam has said and Ron Rivera has said repeatedly is, like, we don't want special treatment. We just want the same treatment. And it's been interesting. It has become the subplot for sure for this Panthers season and around the league as a whole.
Joe, when I was thinking about the Panthers, and I was thinking, okay, so he has the meeting with Goodell, but we go back to what you said, which is the offensive line is not protecting him, certainly the way they did last year.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, a lot of this, I think, goes back to the Super Bowl. If you remember that night in Santa Clara, that Von Miller, but it wasn't only Von Miller. I mean, they had 7 sacks against Cam. The 2 most obvious ones were the strip sacks by Von that resulted in 15 points directly or indirectly. And it's almost like they kind of gave the rest of the country, the rest of the league, a blueprint on how to attack this offensive line and how to attack Cam. And certainly the Broncos did it again in week 1 out there. And that was the game. And that also kind of set the tone too. There were the 4 hits in the second half that replays pretty clearly show that where they were having head-to-head contact, helmet-to-helmet contact against Cam, and only one of which got called, and the league said that at least one more should have been called. So, yeah, but you're right. At some point, Mike Shule, the offense coordinator, has to dial up more quick release passes, which he's done. They had success against that in the win against the Cardinals. But or more to the point, getting Michael Orr back would certainly help. But he's got his own concussion that he's dealing with on that same topic.
Can I talk to you about the secondary and the loss of Josh Norman and how? What do you think about the secondary and what about the on-field, off-field situation of Josh Norman and now he's playing with the Redskins?
So here's the thing: I back in April when they made the decision to remove the franchise tag and allow Norman to become a free agent, I said that one move would shape not just the off season for the Panthers, but the entire 2016 season. And it really has. I mean, not just the secondary, not just the defense, which of course it has ripple effects with how teams are attacking them up front too. But really, the whole locker room and the whole swag that he brings, and we've seen it, and sometimes he gets carried away with it, as was the case last season in the Odell Beckham game, and what you're referring to, what he's been dealing with 5 penalties, 5 calls against him with the Redskins. But make no mistake about it. I mean, he had a personality and a confidence that was infectious on that Carolina defense. And whether you liked him, you know, in some of the antics, it's kind of like a Pete Rose personality, baby. Like, you liked him, you love him when he's on your team, and he's getting under your skin when he's on the other team. And they've really missed him, as I said, not only from a coverage standpoint and everything like that, but also just that attitude and confidence that, like, hey, you give me Dez Bryant, you give me Julio Jones, mm-hmm. I'm going to line up and I'll take him, I'll take him all day long.
But does the organization, do the Panthers want to look at that and say, we made a terrible mistake, or are they just moving on? Because it was a terrible mistake.
Yeah, you know, they've bitten their tongues on that. I think there was certainly always extenuating circumstances that extended beyond the field. They were in the midst of some not great negotiating with Josh, and he was being pretty loud and vocal about how he wanted to be paid and how much. But yeah, everyone from the front office, as you could expect, to the guys in the locker room are ready to move on. They get tired of hearing the questions, but guess what? They're going to be hearing them again in December when the Panthers go to Washington for a Monday night game against Norman.
You know, one of the things that I was thinking of is they have Kansas City coming up this week, but they've got to play the Bucks, and they've got to play, you know, the NFC South again. They got to play New Orleans, and they got to play the Bucks again. They got Atlanta in that. And it's just like, I'm looking at them thinking, okay, they're 3-5. If they won every game that was left, they'd be 11, and I don't see that happening in any way. So is there a point when they say, we're not that they, but after 14 games or 11 games, they say, we're not in it, and they kind of back off a bit? Can you see that happening with that team?
Yeah, that's a great question. And interestingly enough, 2 years ago, that 2014 season I was referencing earlier, they had a point in the last 4 games of the season They did just kind of what you're talking about. They jettisoned a couple veterans in the secondary, Antoine Kaysen and Thomas DeCoux, and they kind of went to a youth movement, started playing a couple young wide receivers, and lo and behold, they won their last four games in a row. They were kind of playing, you know, with house money, nothing to lose, and they snuck into the playoffs. They won their division at 7-8-1. Ended up even winning a playoff game that year. But it feels a little different in the South this year, babe. I think the Falcons are not going away. I kind of painted a scenario in the Charlotte Observer last weekend. I think if the Panthers get to 5-5, having started at 1-5, they can beat Kansas City. They have two games coming up the next 2 weeks at home. Kansas City, who you mentioned, and then New Orleans in a Thursday night game. If they get to 5-5, then you're kind of like, okay, we're back in this thing. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be easy. They have a tough. The NFC South drew a tough cross conference division this year. They got the AFC West. You know, all those teams are good, and even the Chargers. I mean, Phillip Rivers against this secondary is going to be no joke, but. But the Panthers, you know, I'd give them a fighting chance if they got to 5-5, just because of Cam, just because of Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis. I mean, there's plenty of talent still on this roster. But, you know, they just need a little momentum. They need a little swagger. And, you know, maybe we've seen it the last 2 weeks. I think we'll definitely see it, as I said, if they can somehow get to 500 and see if they can't put a run together.
You know what I'm doing? I'm writing down the word focus. I hate to say that, like somebody else would say it, but it's like they were all dancing around last year. They were terrific. They'd won 15 trillion games or whatever it was. But now it's like you really have to focus to do what you want to do to even get into the playoffs. And it's a question of whether or not they will do that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it'll start with those guys I mentioned. I mean, it's Cam is the straw that stirs the drink.
Yes.
He can't do it alone. We've talked at length already about how he needs protection. But you know, you look at their roster, and there was a gaping hole with Josh Norman. That was, I mean, we've discussed that. But offensively, they got Jonathan Stewart in the backfield. He's very, very still a good back, very, very productive when healthy. Greg Olsen's one of the top tight ends in this league, probably right up there with Jimmy Graham and Gronkowski. Calvin Benjamin is a terrific Pro Bowl type wide receiver. And then I mentioned Thomas Davis, Luke Kuechly on the other side. They need a little more pass rush. They've been getting it the last 2 weeks. All I'm saying is, and I'm not Mr. Homer pie in the sky kind of beat reporter, but I think there are pieces in place here that if they can start rushing the passer, that covers a lot of warts with those young guys in the secondary, as you know. I mean, the first go around against Matt Ryan and Drew Brees, those guys just had way too much time to throw, and the results were what you expect to be against a young secondary. But if the pass rush continues, and that may be the key to them defensively, if they can keep putting pressure, and they sacked Carson Palmer 8 times, babe. And they can make, and you're not going to get 8 sacks every game, but if you can get 4 and knock down, you know, a Matt Ryan a handful or 2 or 3 other times a game, then you give those corners a little cushion.
I love Joe. Wasn't he great? It's good to listen to him. He's really just straightforward in the way he talks about that team. I mean, he does it every day. That's his job, is to go and watch the Carolina Panthers, but he does a really good job about the whole thing. Now, do you have anything that's going on? Oh, let me just tell you, we're doing this and it's election day today. I got to tell you one thing. I don't even care who you vote for. Well, I sort of do. But in the same respect, just vote. You know how many people sit there and go, I'm not going to vote? I was with somebody a few years ago and we were together and we were talking, we were typing, doing something like that at the computer, and she said, I don't think I'm going to vote. And I turned around and looked at her. I thought, you are in one of the few places in the world that can do that and have a true democracy and not have to just vote for somebody, Putin, or you have to vote for somebody in Cuba or anything like that. It's like you have to do that. It doesn't matter who you like or don't like. Just put in what you want. Know that you voted. I just couldn't believe that somebody wanted to do that. I'd be there on my – did I ever tell you that my – remember my grandmother used to do the football picks? She, if you listen to the show, she always did the football picks on my show. Well, I don't want to say anything, but she's going to be 105 next year. I think she was on when she was 100. She's 105 right now. And she's going to be, it'll be her birthday next year. And you know what? I was having that conversation with her, and she said, well, I listen, but I can't really. And I said, come on, Gab. You got to do that. And she said, I don't know. And I said, I will come and take you. And she said, well, they already have a thing here where she, what is that place where she, I don't know, what the place where they, what is, it's like an assisted living thing, except she doesn't really need assistance, but that's okay. But anyway, they did that, and they all put the voting things, and they do all of that. And I said, you got to go and do it, because there's so many people in the world. I mean, if there's this many people in the world, only this little tiny mini, is that a good, little tiny mini get to vote. Vote, you bastards. I am the fabulous sports babe, because that's what I do on the Babecast.
If you know the babe at all, you'll know the show never ends.
Don't believe me, just watch.
Follow her on Twitter at Real Sports Babe and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. This has been the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence.
Radio Influence brings you the best in digital media broadcasting. When it comes to sports, we've got experts like national sports radio host Rich Herrera, the fabulous sports babe, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy. Want a good laugh? Then go on the beach with Pants and Roller Girl, or just LOL with Nancy Alexander. And when it comes to real life, Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger and Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill will make you think. When it comes to what you want, Radio Influence has you covered. Find our programming on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.